We wanted to do Children's Ministry Weekend for a couple reasons. One is to remind all of us how important our kids are. Those of you who have your own kids, you know your kids are important to you, right? I mean, every time I have the wheel as an example with the spokes and the hub, and I tell you that if God's in the hub as the ultimate thing in your life, then everything else can be in balance. But if something else worms its way to become the most important thing in your life, then you're in trouble, whether you realize it or not. And every time I use that illustration, I use kids as one of the things that can worm their way into our hub, into becoming the ultimate thing in our lives, because they're so important. But I wanted to remind us, not just that our own kids are important, but all of our kids are important corporately. In the third epistle of John, he puts it so powerfully and succinctly. He says this: I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. That's what we long for. So that's one of the reasons we wanted to have this Children's Ministry Weekend. But the other reason is something that Jesus says in Luke chapter 18 that should be a little haunting, maybe even scary. What happened is that people were bringing their kids to Jesus for Jesus to bless them. And because kids can be, distracting, noisy, the disciples did what any good usher would do, is that they would stop them and they would say, hey, listen, we have a kids area right over here. Take your kids over here. And Jesus said, no, let them come. And then this is what he said, and this is the part that I find really interesting. In verse 16 and 17, it says, but Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, this is it, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Jesus says, unless you get it like a child, you don't get it. And of course, that's pretty important. And we have to ask the question, what did he mean? And we're going to try to answer that as we continue our series on Abraham. This is our fourth week looking at the story of Abraham. And actually, tonight we're going to look at Sarah, because she gets pulled into the story. And I've titled this message, Sarah, The Laugh of the Redeemed. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 18. And I'm going to read the first part of the story out of Genesis chapter 18, and then I'm going to skip to Genesis chapter 21 to finish up the story. Genesis chapter 18, I'll begin at verse 1. It says, and the Lord appeared to him, being Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves and after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. Now this was just a normal, good Bedouin hospitality. It was one of their highest ethics, that when you met a stranger, you were supposed to be hospitable to them. So that's what Abraham does to these three. But then it says this, verse 9. They said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she's in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Okay, then we skip to chapter 21. Beginning of verse 1, it says, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him, and Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age? Okay, this is God's word. All right. Last week, we talked about how God appeared to Abraham. All right, it was about the same issue. It was about the promise of a son. And Abraham, back in chapter 15, which was last week, was struggling with doubt. He was saying to God, I don't get what you're doing. I don't get why we haven't had a son yet. And God appears to Abraham. And it's an amazing time. He starts out by saying, I am your shield and your very great reward. Then he takes him out and he shows him the stars. And then he has this, he does this amazing dramatic thing of cutting a covenant with Abraham. And you know that Abraham went home to Sarah and told her everything. He had to sit Sarah down and say, Sarah, it's going to be okay. God appeared to me. You wouldn't believe it. It was so amazing. I got to see the Shekinah glory, fire and smoke. I split animals. We entered into a covenant, but God signed for me and he signed for him. It's astounding. It's all going to be good. All right? That happened in chapter 15. That was just last week. So the question is this. Why here in chapter 18 does God come for Sarah? Because he comes and he says this. I know he comes for Sarah because verse 9 says, they, when the three of them, they said, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, she's in the tent. Right before God decides to say what he wants to say, he says to Abraham, oh, by the way, where's Sarah? And Abraham says, she's right here in the tent. And then God says, okay, let me tell you what I'm going to tell you. But he told him exactly what he told him back in chapter 15. So why did he come for Sarah? All right? I think there are three reasons. You know, there are always three. But here are the three reasons. The first is that Sarah needed to have a personal encounter with God. Sarah needed to have a personal encounter with God. It wasn't enough for Abraham to have this amazing experience with God and for Sarah to kind of live through that experience. Sarah needed to know God, not just know about him. Because if you get to know God through someone else, all you do is know about him. You don't really know him. One of the things that happens with kids is kids who grow up in Christian homes know about God from the time they're little. But at some point, they have to get to know him personally. It's not enough to have a parent that knows God. It's not enough to have a spouse who has a relationship with Jesus. You have to have your own relationship. There's a verse in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and I love this verse. Jesus is speaking, and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. You know, in the Middle East, even today, but especially in Jesus' time, when you sat down and ate with somebody, you were in relationship with them. Jesus is saying, if I stand at the door and knock, if anyone opens the door, I will come in and have a relationship with them. You know, every once in a while I'll hear people talk about God and they'll say, you know what, yeah, I've always believed in God. Or God's always, you know, I've always had, you know, Jesus, you know, I've always known about Jesus. But I want to say it's different to know about him and to really know him. If you've been brought here by someone and they talk about God differently than you have experienced him, it might be that they've opened the door and God and had this personal relationship with him and you haven't yet. My kids grew up in a home that was saturated with God. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, they learned about God from the time they were little. I was telling them Bible stories, all that. And so they knew about God, but every single one of them at some point needed to open the door and have a personal relationship with Him if they're ever going to really get to know Him. That was true of them. It's true of you. It's true of every child in our church. And that's why we are passionate about children's ministry and introducing them to Jesus in a way that they open the door and let Him in. All right? That's the first reason I think that God appears to Sarah. The second reason is that Sarah's unique. She's different than Abraham. All right, when I see... That kid loves me. She is unique. When you read Abraham's experience with God, it's all dramatic, literally fire and smoke. All right, it's very foreboding, it's dark, it's powerful, all that. With Sarah, God comes and He's so gentle. Sarah actually laughs at God, and God hears her laugh at Him. And instead of turning into a pillar of fire and scaring the bejeebers out of her, what He does is so gentle. He says to Abraham, even indirectly, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah lies to God and says, I didn't laugh. And then God says, oh, but you did laugh. And you can almost see the smile on His face. Why was God so different with Sarah? And part of it is when you read this, you can feel your heart breaking for Sarah. Sarah is filled with kind of a self-hatred. When she says, when I am worn out, will I have pleasure? Literally, she's saying, when I am good for nothing, when I am good for nothing, will I have pleasure? So God comes to her. So the point is this, that when God comes to you and approaches you and you start to get to know Him, it may be different than He does it with other people. You know, in about 4 weeks, right after Easter, we're going to have this big baptism, two weekends of baptism, 70 people being baptized, or almost 70. It's going to be great. All right, I'm really excited. But it means you're going to see up on the screen, you're going to see the testimonies of people telling how they came to, and some of them are going to be really dramatic. And whenever that happens, people sometimes go, oh, maybe that's the way my experience should have been. Maybe, and it was gradual. But I want you to know that we have Abraham, very, very dramatic. Sarah, very, very different than Abraham. Both, it's almost like dating. You know, you hear people talk about how they met their spouse. And I'll hear somebody say, you know what? The moment she walked in the room, the first time I saw her, I knew she was going to be my wife. You know, then the next couple that share, they go, yeah, we dated off and on for 6 years. Broke up, got back together, and broke up, got back together. But the thing, they could both have great marriages. At some point, they both said, I do. Right? That could be with you. Some of you came very, very gradually into an understanding of Jesus, and you finally opened the door. Some of you, it was very dramatic. What I'm saying is this, don't envy someone else's experience, and don't judge someone else's experience. God made you unique, and He comes to you in a unique way because He made you for Himself. That's the second reason that God comes to Sarah. The third reason is my favorite reason, though. The third reason is that Sarah had forgotten how to laugh. She had forgotten how to laugh. You know, we start with Luke chapter 18, where Jesus says this kind of strange and scary thing, where He says, unless you understand it like a child, then you don't get it at all. And we have to ask the question, what is Jesus saying? How are we supposed to get it like a child? And I think part of it is this. I read it somewhere. I think I read it in Randy Alcorn's book on happiness, that a child will laugh 400 times a day and an adult laughs 8. Right? Children laugh 400 times a day and the average adult laughs 8. That's why I had bubbles. I had bubbles. The reason that children laugh is because the world is full of wonder. That's why. Right? Everything is wonderful. We start pumping out the bubbles. You saw little kids coming. I hope this happens every service, that little kids come and they start jumping. Not a single adult came and started jumping, trying to pop the bubbles. You know, we're going, you have adults trying to get away from the bubble so they don't make stains. Hope it doesn't land on me. But I wanted bubbles. I was walking with my grandson today, and he started picking up those kind of spiny, prickly kind of seeds that fall off of trees right now. I don't know what they are. They're not acorns, are they? I don't know. Anyway, he had a whole handful of them. And I said, Liam, what are you doing? He goes, Papa, you rub these up against your cheek. They really feel weird. And I thought, yeah, I haven't done that in a long time. I just think that, okay, so Sarah's life had lost wonder. And this is what God says to her. Verse 14, I love this. She laughs and she says, shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old? Verse 14, he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? See that word, too hard? That's the Hebrew word for wonder. What God says to Sarah is anything too wonderful for me? Is anything too wonderful for me? And then God does what seems to be impossible. And what I love is that laughter is the thread that holds this whole story together. She begins by laughing at God in a sarcastic, kind of cynical laugh. Yeah, that'll never happen. And then God says, oh, Sarah, you have lost wonder. I'm going to restore wonder and watch what happens. And then later on in chapter 21, Sarah says, he has brought laughter to me. And then she says, people who hear will laugh over me. That word over is because the Hebrew word there, the preposition there, can mean two things. It can mean to laugh, will laugh with me, or will laugh at me. And since the translators didn't know what to do, they said, oh, they'll laugh over me, which really doesn't make any sense, right? And then she names her son Isaac, which means laughter, so that she would never forget. What I'm saying is this. When Jesus says, unless you become like a child, you won't ever really get it, I think he's talking about wonder. I think he's talking about what I'm calling the laugh of the redeemed. You know what that is? In 2009, I went to a Cleveland Cavalier playoff game. This was during LeBron chapter 1, right? And we were playing the Orlando Magic. And in that particular game, the Orlando Magic went up by 2 points with 1 second left. And I was standing with a bunch of, the huge crowd at the arena, and we were just going, can you believe it? Can you believe it? You know, we're just, arr, arr, arr. And then they took it out, they called a timeout, and they passed it in from the sidelines, and LeBron James caught it, turned, let it go from beyond the three-point line, dead middle, right? One by 1 point. People went berserk. I was hugging complete strangers, grown men. We were laughing, and we laughed all the way out of the arena. You could hear guys laughing and talking about it. That's the laughter of the redeemed. Because something seemed hopeless, and then something so wonderful happened, you could hardly comprehend it. That's just a little taste of it. When Jesus says, unless you understand it like a child, you'll never really get it. What he's talking about is the gospel. The gospel is this, that even though I'm a sinner, even though I've done so many things you have no idea of, even though I've done all those things wrong, even though I've failed so many times, even though I've said what I've said, even though I've disbelieved what I've disbelieved, even though I've laughed at God, he still loved me enough to send me his son. And when God looks at me, he says, this one's mine. And someday when I die, I will be face to face with a God who loves me more than I can comprehend. And that is so amazing that it should fill you with wonder. When I tell people my real story, I want to say, yeah, it's almost like a joke that somebody like me would be so loved by God, would be chosen by God, would be filled by him, would be redeemed by him. If it wasn't true, it would be a joke, but it is true. Unless you understand the gospel enough to have it fill you with wonder and make you laugh and make you say, isn't it amazing that God would save somebody like me? You don't really understand it yet. You don't get, if you're saying to yourself, yeah, I'm trying to be a Christian, I'm working really hard, you don't get it. That's not it. That's going at it like an adult. A child goes, I am filled with wonder. This shouldn't be happening to me, but it has happened. And it's amazing, right? That's part of the laughter of the redeemed, right? The second one is when you really get the gospel, people will laugh with you and people will laugh at you. And that's okay. When you really understand the gospel, it's okay that people laugh at you because it's one, you're still filled with wonder. And then finally, the gospel, when you really get the gospel, it reminds you not just of God's best, but also your worst. That's what I love. Sarah names her child Laughter so she can remind herself, I laughed at God. That was me at my very worst. And then God gave me this, which is God at his very best. That's the gospel. Do you know the gospel enough to have it fill you with wonder and make you laugh like a child laughs? Know the story, the laughter of the redeemed. It's yours. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your story. Thanks for the gospel. I pray that it will fill us with wonder. I pray that the excitement of the kids and the wonder of the children of our church will remind us of what you have done, who you are, and what it means that you are our Savior. Thanks. Thanks for the reminder even tonight. And I pray that those who have not yet opened the door to you would open the door and that you would remind them of the wonder and the amazing grace that you have given us through your Son, Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.